mining company has the go-ahead to do some exploratory drilling for copper and gold in northern Wisconsin. We'll get two perspectives on the potential for a new mining operation here in the state.
Now, a bill that would legalize medical marijuana in Wisconsin got a hearing in the state legislature this week. Republican State Senator Mary Felskowski is the bill's sponsor.
Don't see that it's government's role to stand between me or you and a natural product with less side effects than some of the prescription drugs that we had.
The legislature's session is over, so the bill won't get a vote this year. And even though surveys show strong bipartisan support in the state for legalizing medical marijuana, it's not clear if enough state lawmakers feel the same.
We're talking about Wisconsin's approach to marijuana and how it compares to other states and what's happening at the federal level.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Would you like to see medical marijuana legalized at the state level? How about recreational marijuana? Should the federal government make those things legal? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.
Alex Kreit is an assistant professor of law and the director of the Center on Addiction Law and Policy at Northern Kentucky University. Alex, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
There has been a pretty big shift in marijuana in the U.S. on the state level during the last decade or so. How out of step or in step is Wisconsin with how other states are handling marijuana right now?
Wisconsin's pretty out of step at this point in not having a comprehensive medical cannabis law. 37 states have that already, and you know, including a lot of much more conservative states. States that are much more conservative than Wisconsin, and you've got 18 states that have legalized all adult use recreational legalization. So you know, Wisconsin's getting to be in a pretty distinct minority and not having a comprehensive medical cannabis law at this point.
Now, this latest bill here to legalize medicinal marijuana is authored by a Republican. That said, it's still considered a pretty heavy lift to get this through our Republican-controlled legislature. And it sounds like, from what you just said, Alex, there have been Republican majorities in other states that have gone ahead with some kind of legalization?
Yep. Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi, are all states where you've had legalization passed through the state legislature in Mississippi. I believe it was following a ballot measure that was struck down, but then went successfully through the legislature recently. So, yeah, you've had this passed with success in pretty conservative states through the state legislature, and of course, in states that have the ballot initiative process, that's a whole different circumstance because it can be put directly before the voters. But you've also had states with ballot measures that are conservative states, like Montana, where it's passed by ballot initiative. But even in states without the initiative process, there have been some pretty deeply conservative states where medical marijuana has passed through the state legislature.
We've also seen a fairly big shift in the public support for legalization. Here in Wisconsin, surveys have showed more than 60% of people support legalizing recreational pot, and a few years ago, a survey showed 83% supported medical marijuana. What do you think has driven that growth in public support for legal marijuana?
I think really probably the biggest thing is just people seeing how it's played out in the states that have legalized it recreationally. I mean, I think you've had for quite some time, really, a supermajority level support for medical marijuana. The polling for that has been really, in the 70s plus nationwide since the early to mid 2000s. So I think that for medical, that's had really this kind of level or close to this level of support for a while. And for recreational marijuana, I think that's something where people really have seen the legalization has played out in the states that have legalized it. I think more and more people are looking at it and saying, the sky hasn't fallen. People who were maybe skeptical of it or who were opposed to it but not strongly so are looking at how it's playing out in those states and saying, hey, this isn't maybe as bad as I feared that it was going to be. There are some pluses to this, and I think that that's really swaying public opinion.
And in those states where we do see legalized medicinal marijuana, what kind of restrictions come with those laws? What is the process to obtain medical marijuana if it is legal?
Yeah, it varies, you know, state by state. Certainly there's a pretty big degree of variation as to how restrictive each state is. But generally, you know, of course, the big thing that, every state's going to require for medical marijuana is going to be a doctor's recommendation. And it's a recommendation, not a prescription, because it's still illegal federally, and so it doesn't have the same. It's not sort of the same process that you would have for a prescription for an FDA-approved product. But a similar type of thing, going to see a doctor and getting a recommendation. A lot of states have restrictions, or some states, I should say, have restrictions on what it can be recommended for, and they might have a list of particular ailments and say that it can't be recommended for anything other than that. Some states are a little bit more open-ended and leave it to the doctor's judgment in that regard. So you've got sort of those kinds of rules and regulations and restrictions in terms of who can access it. And then, of course, there's the whole world of regulatory oversight of the manufacturing, the sales process, rules about testing the product to make sure there's, no impurities and all that sort of thing.
We're talking with Alex Kreit right now, assistant professor of law and an expert in cannabis law and policy at Northern Kentucky University, looking at how Wisconsin compares to the rest of the country when it comes to marijuana after a hearing on a bill to legalize medicinal pot in the state capitol yesterday. Alex, Wisconsin is bordered by Minnesota, Michigan, and Illinois, three states that have legalized marijuana to some extent. And I know you've looked at situations like this. When there is a state like Wisconsin that's a bit of an island, what effect do we see or not see from other states that have some version of legal pot?
I don't think that there's a huge effect on use, but it certainly puts the states, that don't have legal marijuana kind of in a circumstance where they're missing out on the potential for tax revenue. I think that the reason that there's probably not, an indication of a significant impact on use is that, marijuana, even when it is illegal, is pretty accessible and available. And then, frankly, is I think one of the things that proponents of legalization cite to and that people look at and say this is, a reason why maybe prohibition hasn't worked and it's time to consider legalization, is that even with, prohibition, even with the war on marijuana, it's not that difficult for people to get marijuana in a state where it's completely prohibited. So certainly in, states like Wisconsin where it's prohibited, for people who live close to the border to a legalization state, somebody who lives close to Illinois, they might decide to drive across the border to Illinois and buy it there, and perhaps, people who maybe were buying it before from illegal dealers in Wisconsin might do that, or some people who, might not otherwise use it might decide to drive across the border and get some for personal use. But I don't think there's been a significant impact in terms of sort of overall availability of marijuana in states where it's illegal, just because they're bordering states where it's now made legal. The reality is it's already very available, and it has been for, pretty much the entirety of marijuana prohibition. So so I don't think that it's made it more available per se, but it has made it a little bit more convenient maybe for people who, might want to drive across and get it from a regulated store across the border in Illinois.
Sure. I want to take a caller now at 800-642-1234. We have John in Sauk City with us. Hey, John.
Oh, hi. How are you doing?
Good. What was on your mind?
Oh, yeah. I was, I just kind of had to write this down so I can focus my thoughts here, but my idea was, I was wondering if there was, if your guest knew anything about licensing of cannabis, and particularly for like small farmers. And the concept is that I'd like to present is, how do we prevent I hate to say big business, but how can we prevent big business from owning the licenses for growing cannabis?
Sure, John. Thanks for the call. Oh, and I want to throw that to Alex. This is not an issue here in Wisconsin at this time, but other states, I'd imagine, have had to talk about things like who gets to farm cannabis, who gets to sell it and distribute it. How have they gone about answering those questions?
Yeah, I mean, I think you've seen a range of approaches, and a lot of it really depends on, to what extent the state wants to try to, kind of have it be as much of a kind of open-ended free market thing versus trying to encourage or have a market where small businesses can thrive. And that, I think, certainly is, in small farms in the case of manufacturers. There, I think, are ways that you can try to structure the regulatory regime to do that, things like rules surrounding how many licenses any one entity or group can hold at one time, the size of the farm or the manufacturing operation for each licensee. So there's a range of sort of regulatory tools that states can and have used to try to address that issue. And certainly, I think in some states there has been that kind of effort to prevent the corporatization of the marketplace or the total corporatization or takeover of the marketplace. And again, it's a range of approaches. Some places, might have a regulatory structure that allows for those large-scale enterprises, but also has regulations and licenses in place that would try to encourage and facilitate, craft cannabis, if you will, sort of maybe similar to a craft beer maker versus, the large conglomerates. So, we've really seen a range of approaches to that.
We're talking to Alex Kreit. He's an assistant professor of law and the director of the Center on Addiction Law and Policy at Northern Kentucky University. With us today to talk about an effort in Wisconsin to legalize medical marijuana and how Wisconsin's approach to marijuana compares to states around the country.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see marijuana legalized for medical use, for recreational use in Wisconsin? Are you in one of our neighboring states that has one of those laws in place? How are things working out in your community? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org.
We'll continue the conversation and maybe hear from you coming up on Central Time.
It's Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett.
Dean Knetter. We're talking about marijuana policy in Wisconsin and across the country. A bill to legalize medicinal use in Wisconsin got a hearing in the state legislature this week. Alex Kreit from Northern Kentucky University stays with us.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see a medical marijuana law pass here in Wisconsin? How about recreational marijuana? What questions, what thoughts do you have on the issue? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234.
We'll go back to our callers now. Martha is with us in Menominee. Hi, Martha.
Hey, great to hear this program. Yes, I would fully support this bill. I would like to borrow your microphone to speak to the Republicans in the state legislature on this because a few of them are quite uninformed. On this very show, I heard one Republican congressman on this subject last year spout a bunch of scientific misinformation and gobbledygook, called his office, asked them to send me the study he cited that, marijuana causes addiction and it is a gateway drug, which is all untrue, and couldn't get a call back, never heard anything. But it was on this show that I heard this first being debated last year. So I think the Republicans in the state need to be educated. They need to educate their fellow Republicans and get this done because two-thirds of the country want these laws passed. And these days, two-thirds of the people can't get together on anything, but they've gotten together on this.
Gotcha. Martha,
thank
you for the call, Martha. Alex, we mentioned earlier that public opinion is pretty strong in support of legalizing marijuana to some extent. But in Wisconsin and some other states, the politics haven't kept up with that. In those instances, are there misconceptions out there that you see a lot of that you think could use some correcting?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, maybe a big, part of it certainly is sort of the long memory maybe some politicians have for the anti-drug sort of drug war era. Certainly any politicians who kind of came of age politically in the 80s and 90s and even to a lesser extent, the early 2000s, they, you know, I think maybe are much more of the mindset of the war on drugs having, you know, strong, resolute political support. And even though the, you know, sort of lay of the land has shifted dramatically, I think there's a contingent of politicians who are kind of still maybe stuck in that mindset, or concerned that this is, you know, even if the polls say that people support it, that it's not as popular as the polls say for X or Y reason. And so I think there's that, you know, component of it, certainly. And I think that, you know, for medical cannabis, I think that there are, you know, something I've seen, you know, people say, well, unless and until the FDA approves this, you know, but the reality is that there has, you know, research into the medicinal uses of marijuana has been stifled for a long time because of the federal prohibition. There have been efforts to, you know, increase research, but that's sort of one of the reasons that states have led the way in enacting medical cannabis laws. And, you know, some of the medical uses, I think, are, you know, just kind of, I mean, common sense in a way. I mean, the chief one to help with nausea, I joke to my students when I teach my drug law class, you know, do how many studies do we really need to know that marijuana can make you hungry, right? I mean, for, you know, in a way, obviously, if you're just a recreational user, you know, smoking some marijuana and eating some more chips, it could be a funny thing. But of course, if you, you know, are undergoing chemotherapy, it's a real legitimate medical use to have something that can help stimulate appetite. And so I think there's kind of a misconception that, well, it's not FDA approved, and so states can't move on this issue. But, you know, of course, we have 37 states that have already done that, and that's helping to, I think, encourage the prospect of federal reform and more research that is federally authorized.
And just this month, a bill to decriminalize marijuana on the federal level did pass the U.S. House, a couple Republican votes, I believe, in support of it. That is still awaiting a vote in the Senate, where it would need 60 votes to pass. But Alex, can you give us a sense of what this federal bill would and wouldn't do?
Yeah, so the bill that passed in the House is the MORE Act, and there's a similar measure that's going to be introduced, it looks like right now in August, by Chuck Schumer and some other senators in the Senate. And so, you know, the MORE Act would legalize marijuana federally. It wouldn't supersede state law. So states that have prohibitions, those would remain in place at the state level. But of course, I think if federal law were to change, that might encourage some states that currently have prohibition and are on the fence to rethink it. But it would legalize marijuana federally. It would tax marijuana federally. It would start at a 5% tax under the MORE Act. That, you know, that which is the one that passed the House again. It would expunge nonviolent federal marijuana convictions and would have some incentives for states to expunge marijuana convictions at the state level. And there would also be some provisions for social equity to try to help small businesses, to try to help people who might want to get in the marijuana business who've been negatively impacted by the war on drugs, that sort of thing. So it's a pretty comprehensive proposal. And even though, you know, like you, as you said, it got a couple of Republican votes, there's actually a competing in the House legalization proposal that is being has been put forward chiefly by Republicans. So even though the MORE Act itself only got a few Republican votes, that I think kind of undersells a little bit the amount of support for the idea of federal reform in the House among Republicans. There's a pretty significant contingent of Republicans who didn't vote for the MORE Act but support a competing measure. So I think there's really starting to be some real movement there at the federal level, but, you know, that the Senate is probably going to be the hardest lift because of the issue of the filibuster and the need to get, you know, 60 votes there for something to pass.
Time for one more caller. We have Pam in Southwest Wisconsin. Hey, Pam.
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can. Go ahead.
Yeah. I had a quick question because I know CBD is not the same as marijuana at all, but we have some CBD stores here in Wisconsin, and I noticed they'll say, oh, you know, this is the legal kind, it's Delta 8 and Delta 10, not Delta 9 or whatever, but they have THC signs. And when you read the ingredients, it says THC. And so I'm just sort of curious, like, how they can get by, which is great because it's a helpful product. But how is it they're able to get through without, is it because even if they have some component of THC?
Sure. Pam, thanks for the question. Alex, how are we drawing the line between when it comes to THC content?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's something that's where there's actually, I think, a fair amount of uncertainty currently in the law on a component of it. So under state law, Wisconsin does have a CBD-only law. There's only three states that have no medical cannabis law whatsoever. So Wisconsin's in the group of, I think it's 10, that has a CBD-only law. Then with respect to the kind of question of the ones that are advertising that it's CBD only, but it has, you know, some sort of THC type of component to it. There's under federal law, at the federal level, there was a hemp legalization bill. And there's kind of currently some uncertainty in the law as to whether you can take extracts of hemp products that might have mind-altering effects and whether that would still be legal under this federal hemp bill. And it's something that, again, frankly, the law is kind of unsettled. And the places that are selling these kind of products are operating in kind of a legal gray area apart from any of the entities that are doing it, you know, kind of in full compliance with the Wisconsin CBD-only medical law.
Got it. Pam, thank you for the call. And Alex, we are just about out of time today, but I want to thank you for your time and joining us and helping us understand what's going on around the country. Thanks for joining us today.
Sure thing. Thanks for having me.
Alex Kreit is an assistant professor of law and the director of the Center on Addiction Law and Policy at Northern Kentucky University. He was with us today to talk about Wisconsin's approach to marijuana policy and what's going on in other states and on the federal level.